Welcome to episode 55 of the Speak On It podcast featuring your boy T-Lip. What's happening? What up, though? Hey, it's some things to talk about from yesterday's football games yesterday, man. It was a lot going on. There was some upsets, some offsides being called, some drop passes. We were seeing a game that was won 3-0 yesterday. We ain't seen one of those in a long, long time. There was some backup quarterback play that was willed their team to win some games. Joe Flacco, you know, Zach Wilson. There was some great quarterback play yesterday. Justin Fields, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson. It's a lot to talk about today. It's a lot to break down. Obviously, we had some great games yesterday. And the first game I would like to talk about is the Cowboys versus the Eagles. There was all of this talk the last few weeks. You know, the Cowboys haven't played, you know, talent that they needed to play. They haven't played a winning team at home. I think they was like 14-0 or 15-0 at home in their last 15 games. And most of the teams they played in that 15 games wasn't really good. But now they went into this week, Cowboys-Eagles. Cowboys-Eagles, Sunday Night Football in Jerry's World. And a lot, there's a lot of people that think the Cowboys are the better team, one of the best teams in the league. And there's people that think the Eagles are the best team in the league. And obviously the Eagles won the last game they played, but the Cowboys played a really great game the last time they played the Eagles. Even though they lost, there were things that they took away from that game that carried over into the games after that. And essentially into this game, that the next game they played against the Eagles, which was today. I mean, which was, God damn, my tongue. Yeah, I got my tongue tied up. But obviously they learned a lot from the first matchup they played and they carried over into this game. It's basically what I was trying to say. The Eagles, man, Cowboys came out and dominated. Let's talk about the Cowboys first, man. Obviously the Cowboys won this game 33-13. They came out, got into a 10-0 lead in the first quarter. At halftime, it was 24-6, Cowboys way, you know. And then in the third quarter, it was 24-6. Fletcher Cox had forced a fumble. Jalen Carter scooped and scored, picked it up and scored it to the touchdown. The first half, the Eagles kicked 2 field goals, and the only touchdown they had in the game was a defensive touchdown. Y'all heard what I just said? An offense that has Jalen Hurts, one of the best offensive linemen aligned in the game. And I would probably say a top three duo receivers with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Goddard coming back for this game as well. That offense scored 0 points. 0 points versus the Cowboys. That's big time for the Cowboys. That is big time. I don't know the history of this matchup, but I think that would probably be like the first time or maybe the second or the third or something like that. They play each other twice every year. They've been in the same division. But that had to be one of the first times that the Eagles scored 0 points, 0 touchdowns. Well, 0 offensive touchdowns versus the Cowboys, no matter if it was on a home, it was at home or on the road. So that's a very underrated statistic right there. Dallas dominated this game, man. Cowboys, Dak went 24 for 39, 271 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Tony Pollard has 16 carries, 59 yards. Dwaddle, the running back number 23, he had 12 carries for 46 yards and 1 touchdown. That running game is nice. Like, they're more of a throwing team. So their offense is more carried by throwing the ball. But they ran the ball yesterday. If you watch the game, they came out and ran in that first drive, they came out and set the tempo right then and there. They ran the ball, I would say. Let me go back to it, because that first quarter, they came out, the first possession, they came out and ran the ball. Let's see. Turban had a run. Duado had a run. Dak had a run. They was running the ball. They was definitely running the ball. So I like that little 1-2 punch back there, but they're more of a passing team. So that's how it's going to go. With the receivers, Jake Ferguson, which has become his Dak – primary target. Not his primary target, but Dak loves Jake Ferguson. Jake Ferguson is a good tight end. I think he's becoming one of the best tight ends in the league. I think he's in that top five, top six conversation. He's definitely he played with that passion, that fire. Like, he was jumping over guys yesterday, running through guys, making contested catches. He's just a guy that, hey, I see why they didn't sign Dalton Schultz last year, because they knew that this guy was right here, and I'm sure they probably watched him in practice, seen his growth, and seen his trajectory, and now we're able to see, you know, Jake Ferguson, which I think he's better than Dalton Schultz, even though Dalton Schultz is nice too. But Dak is definitely – he definitely has his eyes on Ferguson for sure. He had 5 catches for 72 yards. CeeDee Lamb has 6 catches for 71 yards and a touchdown. Michael Gallup showed up yesterday. He had 3 catches for 48 yards and 1 touchdown with a nice bomb down the left sideline. I think that was in the fourth quarter. A nice little bomb down the sideline, diving catch, got his feet down. He's showing up. B. Cooks, 2 catches for 37 yards. And shit, Pollard has 7 catches as well for 37 yards. So there's guys on this offense that are, you know, that are weapons for Dak, and they're opening up the offense even more. This was kind of a dominant game by the Cowboys, and Dak played really well. Like, he looked real efficient. Like, he didn't look rattled. He didn't look worried. You feel me? Like, the game plan was crisp. I love how they executed on offense with the run and the pass. I mean, they basically have what they – even though people think the Cowboys don't have this running game and they don't have a McCaffrey or a, you feel me, one of these running backs that can go for over 120 yards a game, anything like that, but they still commit to the run game. They still committed to the run game. Dak Prescott only threw 39 passes yesterday, which is pretty good. When he get into the 40 and 45 and 50 range passes, attempts, that's when it's like, oh, they run a game, man. Shit, they literally disregard the running game. But they stay with the running game, and that's what helps their offense. Defense played well, man. Gilmore forced fumble on A.J. Brown. He was playing great coverage, great lockdown coverage yesterday, competing for the ball. That was a matchup you definitely want to see. If you was tuned in, Gilly definitely still showed why he's one of the, you know, why he's a first ballot Hall of Famer for sure. He still has that same edge he plays with. Michael Parsons balled out. He probably got held a couple times. He got sacked yesterday at TFL. And they just affected the game. You know, they made plays. They were punching the ball out. They had 3 forced fumbles yesterday. They forced 3 forced fumbles. Like, it was, and this is the crazy part. Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, and A.J. Brown are the guys that they forced fumbles on. So 3 of your main guys on offense, 3 guys that can really ball out and go crazy offensively, all fumbled and lost that and lost the fumble as well. That's just like a blow to your offense, man. Jalen Hurts, when he fumbled, it was like damn near in the red zone. And it was on like a 10-yard run where he didn't get touched and he was 8 yards down the field. They just ripped the ball out. So, obviously, the Cowboys came in there with a plan and they executed it. They balled out, man. That defense looked good. They was flying around. Dak looks good. This is a great win for Dak. Even though it was at home, it don't matter, bro. I don't care. That's what the schedule is. This Eagles team is a good team, and they went in there and they beat them down. Like, the Cowboys didn't get bullied. You would see sometimes the Cowboys would get bullied. You know, they'd get beat. They'd get ran on. They'd get the ball caught on them. They'd get tired quick. But they didn't get bullied this game. They did not get bullied. They did the bullying to me. Cowboys did the bullying. They made the Eagles defense look bad, man. That Eagles defense is bad to me. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass consistently. The interior of their defense is bad. The D linemen, the D tackles to the linebackers to the safeties are all like the core of their defense is bad. Like, that's where their weak spots are, is at the core of their defense. And if I can murder the core of your defense, then I'm going to be able to do whatever I want, because what's the fastest way to get from point A to point B? It's a straight line. So if I can just hand the ball off straight downhill and get 10 yards of carry, breaking tackles, then that's easy. I'm able to move your D lineman, you know, however I want to. That's easy. The Eagles, they are not going to win this year. I don't even think they're going to make it to the Super Bowl they might lose in the first round because their defense is not great. And you can tell that them coordinators that they lost is a big thing. The offensive coordinator and the defense coordinator, you're starting to see now what's going on. Because it's cool when you're winning. You can hide the little mistakes you make when you're winning. But when you're losing, now the mistakes that you have, they kind of are highlighted. You know, they put out in the front. You feel me? They're talked about more in meetings. And who knows how that weighs on players. You know how it be. People getting their feelings and blah, 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 blah. But like I said, when you winning, don't none of that shit matter. But when you losing, it get real. Like the meetings get real. You start to walk on your own eggshells around the building, around the facility. You got to practice harder. It's just so much that goes into that. Jalen Hurts wasn't one of his best days. He had no touchdowns. None whatsoever. Their running game got stopped. A.J. Brown had 9 catches for 94 yards. Devontae Smith had 5 for 73 yards. That was cool, but Goddard only had four catches. That was the only people that touched the ball in the passing game. Jalen Hurts had 18 completions, 18 for 27. So it's like they was down bad. The Cowboys were the better team. I think they was the better team the first time they played as well. I think the Cowboys, the first game they played, the Cowboys lost that game more than the Eagles won that game. And now that we see at home, the Cowboys literally whooped their ass and they didn't give up a offensive touchdown, you know, to a team that scored 35 points in the Super Bowl last year. So this is a great win for the Cowboys, man. Great win for Dak. Dak looked pretty good. Dak did his thing. He's leading his team. Love to see it, man. Love to see it, definitely. Great win for them. They go on the road next week and play the Bills. That's going to be a great game as well. So we're going to see how that goes. Moving on from that game, let's talk about the Ravens and the Rams, man. Ravens and the Rams. Obviously, man, Matthew Stafford is a beast. He's definitely one of those guys that can still get it done. He was 23 for 41, 294 yards, 3 touchdowns. And they running back, 25 carries for 114 yards. I think it's Kyren Williams. He can ball. He can run the ball as well. But the way Matthew Stafford can still throw the ball and distribute the ball, Kupp had 8 catches for 115 yards. Puka Nacua had 5 catches for 84 yards. They tight end rookie, 4 catches for 50 yards. Robinson, 3 catches for 46 yards. You know, Robinson touchdown, Allen touchdown, Cooper Kupp touchdown. And this is all on a road where it was raining. It was muddy. I'm sure it was raining on and off. The weather was bad, and he just go out there and still get it done. Yes, the Ravens won this game 37-31 in overtime. And I'll talk about how that ended. It ended especially. That was a dope win for sure. But the Rams look good, man. I thought this was going to be like a rebuild year for the Rams. But even though they've been losing some games, the Rams are still, 6-7, and they're still in the playoff hunt. They're still a team that, you know, depending on how the ending of this season go, they are literally in the AFC right now. So who knows how these last 4 games going to shake out. I'm enjoying it, like how it's going to be, seeing how it's going to go. The Rams got to make it happen, though. But moving on from the Rams, let's talk about Lamar Jackson and these Ravens. Lamar Jackson. MVP type performance today, MVP day, 24 for 43, 316 yards, 3 touchdowns, while adding 11 carries for 70 yards. So he had a total of 386 yards total, made some very great throws to Odell Beckham, to Likely, to Zay Flowers. If you was watching the game, that touchdown he threw to Zay Flowers at the end of the game, well, at the end of the fourth quarter, to tie the game up, man, that was big time. No, they took the lead right there. They took the lead. That was great right there. That was greatness right there. Definitely greatness. Back to what I was saying. Ravens going crazy. Running game is doing well. Keaton Allen is a playmaker. He can take it the distance whenever he chooses to get the ball. He can do his thing. He had 9 carries with 54 yards. Doing his thing for sure. He's balling. This offense looks well. They are the number one. They're the top five offense. They're the number one rushing offense. Their defense are a top five defense as well. They gave up a lot of points to the Rams, but the Rams are a good offense. I mean, you're playing against a Super Bowl quarterback. You're playing against one of the best receivers in the game. And you're playing against one of a young receiver in Puka Nacua, a rookie receiver that's pretty damn good. Like, he made some great catches. He made some great plays. And he played with a fire and an energy that we haven't seen in a while, especially from a wide receiver, a fifth-round wide receiver. He's a baller for sure. OBJ, the last what? The last 5 games, he has 3 touchdowns. He was literally 3 yards away from 100 yards rushing. He had 4 catches for 97 yards. Averaged 24 yards a catch. He also had a 46-yard touchdown on a double move where he literally had to spin all the way around and locate the ball and fall in all off all the balance, and he still caught the ball. And some people would be like, oh, man, he should have caught that. I mean, that was an easy catch. No, it ain't. We done seen some drops. We done seen some receivers wide open drop the ball. We done seen some drop. That was a tough catch. And, I mean, we being real, OBJ was one of the top tough catchers in the game that we've probably ever seen. Likely is finding his stride. Obviously, Andrews went down. We don't know if he's going to come back or if he is going to come back. Likely had 5 catches for 83 yards, a 54-yard touchdown as well down the sideline when he was left wide open. Zay Flowers, 6 catches for 60 yards. Aguilar, 5 catches for 32 yards. Bateman, 2 catches for 24 yards. Man, this offense, this is what it's going to be. This is what it has to be. Guys like this has to get yak yards. They have to, you know, catch the ball when they're thrown to them. Make plays for your quarterback. That's what it is. You have to make plays for your quarterback, period. That's what it is. You have to make plays for your quarterback. That's what you want to do. Everybody else, shit, everybody else need the same thing. Obviously, we see what's going on over there in Kansas City. They don't have guys that can make plays for his quarterback. And that's what it is. But the Ravens look good, man. This is a great win for them, even though, you know, some people might say it was ugly, whatever it is. All I know is in the fourth quarter, Lamar Jackson was down by 5 points, had to get a touchdown, under 3 minutes left, and he drove the ball. He was 7. Let me make sure about this, because how he ended the game, this was hella clutch, being down by 5. Being down by 5 with under 3 minutes left. He was 7 for 10, and he threw the game should have been a game winner, but he threw the touchdown to Zay Flowers to take the lead. And then he threw the 2-point conversion to Zay Flowers to take the lead, to put them up by 3 points. Because think about it. If he don't get that 2 points, they lose the game because the Rams drove the ball down there quick and kicked the field goal with under like a minute left. So if he don't get that 2-point conversion, even though he scored a touchdown, if he do not get that 2-point conversion, then they lose that game because they won't be up by 3. They'll just be up by 1. So great clutch play by Lamar Jackson. He's the MVP to me right now. I think it come down. We got 4 candidates going down the line for MVP right now. I don't think nobody else is a candidate right now. The 4 candidates I have is, there's no order. I'm just naming them. Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Tariq Hill, and Brock Purdy. Those are the 4 guys that I'm putting in there. I don't think nobody else need to be in the conversation. Whoever out of those 4 guys ball out for the rest of this year, get some big wins, have some dominant, you know, performances, break some records, and will their team to a 1 seed or a 2 seed or just, you know, play dominant football, that is going to be the guy to get the MVP. And I feel like right now Lamar Jackson is the MVP. As of right now, this is a great win. This is one of them offensive games, too. The defense kind of, you know, they let up a little bit. They gave up, 28 points? 28 points. They let up 28 points. That's not – they're the best defense in the league, so they probably give less than, what, 13, 14 points? So, great win for the Rams, though. I mean, great win for the Ravens. But the game went to overtime. The Ravens got the ball first. They went 3-and-out. The Rams got the ball. Then they went 3-and-out. They punted the ball to Wallace. Wallace took it all the way to the crib. Wallace took it all the way to the crib. Ended the game in overtime with a punt return to the crib. It was a wall on their sideline, wall left. He made one guy miss, and the wall was set perfectly. They jammed the gunner. The gunner was damn near outside. It was an alley where he could have ran through. He ran right through it. He almost got tripped up by one of the guys for a last attempt to stop him from scoring. The punter was blocked, and he stayed up, and he took it to the crib. Big play from the Ravens. Like, that's championship ball. I'm telling y'all that right now. That happens when you're playing great football. That happens right there. You get blessings like that, for real. And knowing Harbaugh is a special teams guy anyway, because that's what he does. Special teams going to have to make a play. You're going to have to make a play in the Super Bowl or to make it to the Super Bowl. If y'all remember last year, Kadarius Toney damn near ran a punt return back to the crib inside the 5-yard line, inside, I think it was like the 7-6-yard line around there. Like, that was a big play in the game. That was a very, very, very big play. You feel what I'm saying? Like, special teams is going to come in handy at times to where you need to make things happen. So I would say, man, great win from the Ravens. Great win. Lamar with an MVP performance. And this Ravens team is just finding ways to win. If it's ugly, if it's a clean win, whatever it is, he's finding a way to win. And that's what you want to be doing at this time, finding ways to win. The Ravens sit at 10-3. Yeah, they sit at 10-3. They are number one seed right now. I think if the Dolphins win tonight, I think they will jump them and they will. The Dolphins will be the 10th. I mean, the number one seed. But I think the first two seeds are going to come down to the Ravens and the Dolphins. I think the Chiefs are going to be kind of locked in at that 3 seed. But we got to see. Because, shit, they might sink to the 4 seed. Them and the Jaguars tie right now. So we're going to see how that go. But great win for the Ravens. Great win for the Ravens. They play the Jaguars on Sunday Night Football next week in Jacksonville. So that's going to be a great game. And we're going to see how that goes. Moving on from that, let's talk about the Bills and the Chiefs. Bills won on the road. They went into Arrowhead, won the game. Taylor Swift was there. You know, all the people was there. I'm glad they wasn't showing her every damn commercial break like they were the first couple weeks she was at the game. They was showing her every time, like she was the coach or something. The Bills went in there and won a game that they needed to win, 20-7. It came down to the end of the game, which a play was made by Travis Kelce, something crazy. But it was taken away because they called an offensive offsides on Kadarius Toney. I'm gonna let y'all know this, bro. I've been playing football ever since I was organized football. I've been playing organized football ever since I was 8 years old. So I played organized football with pads on the team, all of that. For, 22, 21 years, I've never heard of a guy being an offensive guy getting called for offsides. I never heard of it. So it was a wild thing for me when it happened. And then it's the same guy that scored on that play. So Travis Kelce catches like a in route, runs around. He's about to get tackled. And he seen Kadarius Toney over there by himself, and he threw it all the way back to him. Like, threw it, a full lateral, and he scored. And I was like, man, that is crazy. It was a great play. Like, that play, even though they took that play away, I would still put that play on my highlight. I don't give a damn. I'm putting that play on my highlight for sure. So, but it was a great win for the Bills, man. They needed this win. They 7-6. They kind of put themselves back into the fight. They're literally five. They're sitting in the 11th spot right now. But there's literally six teams that's tied with a 7-6 record right now. And from the 6th seed all the way to the 11th seed, they all tied with 7-6 record right now. So, and then the Browns that's right above them in the 5th seed are 8-5. So these last games, it's going to come down to these last games to see what the seeding is. And the Bills need to find a way to win all of these games for sure. Josh Allen he was 23 for 42, 233 yards, one touchdown, one interception. 10 carries for 32 yards, had a rushing touchdown. Cook, they kind of took they took Stephon Diggs out of the game. Like, he wasn't getting targeted a lot. Spagnuolo said, "I'm not going to let the best player beat me." So it was a lot of other guys that was, you know, Cook had the running back. He had 5 catches for 83 yards. They was giving the ball to him. Dawson Knox had 3 catches for 36 yards. Like, it was a bunch of things going on that because they wasn't letting him win. They wasn't about to let him win. Like I said, this was kind of one of those ugly games, but it was a great win for the Bills. The Chiefs just don't have it right now. The Chiefs, like, the ball is not dropping their way. The calls are not going their way. I feel like they let Mahomes down this year. I would say the Chiefs' kingdom, the office, the front office, the organization, the GM, I think they let him down this year by not going to get him a receiver. He's in a prime of his career. He's in his young prime too. He's not even in his, what is Patrick Mahomes? He what, 27, 28 maybe? So he's young. Like, he's not even 30 yet, and he's in his young prime. Already have 2 Super Bowl MVPs, 2 MVPs, and he's coming off that just last year, and y'all don't get him what he need. Y'all don't get him a wide receiver. Y'all just say, okay, we got Travis Kelce, and that's it. That's it. No, bro, you got to get him weapons. Like, this is one of the best defenses he played with. Like, this might mess around and be the best defense that, you know, the Chiefs have in his career. Who knows if Steve Spagnuolo going to go and be a head coach somewhere or get a head coach opportunity to go and coach somewhere. Who knows? Because the way he's calling the game, man, he can play. He can coach. And who knows, man? You got to capitalize in that year if you want the best. And they didn't surround Patrick Mahomes with the best. You got wide receivers that's dropping the ball. They can't get open. They can't create separation, consistent separation. They dropping the ball when they wide open. It's just too much going on for him to overcome this year. And that's not going to get better within these last few weeks or in the playoffs. So I think the Chiefs are going to go home in the playoffs because they don't have guys that can separate, that can make plays. You feel me? They have the DNA. That's what's up. They have a great defense. That's what's up. But you got to be able to score points. They're not going to win games 20-17. Like, that's not going to happen like that. The Chiefs are known as an offensive team. But this year, they're known as a defensive team because the offense haven't showed up to the party consistently like that. You got to put guys around Patrick Mahomes that's ready to win, that's ready to ball out. You have to. I think, like I said, I think the Chiefs kind of failed him this year with that. Hopefully they go into this offseason and find a legit number one receiver to pair him with Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and you know, add some more weapons to the puzzle, draft really well because they missed with Sky Moore, but they hit with Trent McDuffie because McDuffie is a dog. Let MVS go. Probably have to let Kadarius Toney go, and just bring him in some guys that's ready to make plays because he's the best quarterback in the league easily, and he's the best quarterback. He's top 2 quarterback ever. Why would you not want to put the best players around him and give your team a chance to win another Super Bowl back to back? That's what I'm saying. So I feel like they let him down, and that's why they've been losing these games, because they can't find guys that can create separation when it gets tough, when the game gets tight. They don't have any playmakers around. Yeah, they can win when they're up by 14 already, because now the degree of difficulty is not that bad. Because okay, if I drop a ball now when we already up by 14, it's okay. But if I drop a ball and we down by 10, it's like, damn, we ain't gonna win this game. It just takes the air out of the whole stadium. Like, you see in the Chiefs fans are like, oh my God, they becoming fed up with it too. Chiefs have to address that this offseason if they want to win. It's on them. So, good win for the Bills. The Bills play, the Bills move on to play. They play the Cowboys next week at home. That's going to be a good game. And the Chiefs play in New England. They play Patriots. They should win that game, but who knows, man. Who knows? Moving on from that, Last game we're going to really, really talk about, dive into, is the Seahawks and the 49ers. Great game. 49ers is just a tough team to beat, bro. 49ers is just a tough team to beat. They dominant. They healthy. They playing really, really good football right now. Brock Purdy is playing really, really, really good football right now. The weapons they have around them is crazy. Christian McCaffrey, 16 carries, 145 rushing yards. On damn near the first play, he breaks for 72 yards. So right now, the tone is already set. First play of the game, you break in an NFL game, you break it for 72 yards on a toss play. Tone is already set. Debo Samuel, 7 catches for 149 yards. The last two games, he's had, what, 4 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns? The last two games, he had five touchdowns alone. Brandon Ayuk, 6 catches for 126 yards. Greg Kittle, 3 catches for 76 yards, 1 touchdown. Like, these guys are all yak. They not going down easy. None of the guys I just named are one person going to be able to tackle them. McCaffrey, one person not going to be able to tackle him. Debo, one person not going to be able to tackle him. Brandon Ayuk, not one person. Greg Kittle, not one person. These are all dogs. And then you got it's played behind the best offensive line in the game. Trent Williams, greatness. But Brock Purdy, 19 for 27, 368 yards, 2 touchdowns. 368 yards. Accurate guy. Like this, I think he's, like I said, I think he's the perfect quarterback for Kyle Shanahan and for this 49ers team. I think he is. I would love to see it in the playoffs, though. But that's what happens. I mean, last year he was a rookie playing in the playoffs, so it's going to be different now. He's not a rookie now. He's more comfortable in the offense. He's more comfortable with the game plan. It's not new to him. He went on the road already. Like, he's faced some challenges. Now it's just going to be like another hurdle. Let's see how far he can get. Let's see if he can get to the Super Bowl. I would be surprised if the 49ers not in the Super Bowl. I think they're the best team easily in the NFC. I think the 49ers, I think it would be very, 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 like, surprising if the 49ers do not make the Super Bowl. Barring that they fully healthy, like the health team that they have, it would be surprising to me. Seahawks, obviously, Geno Smith didn't play yesterday. Drew Lock, 22 for 31, 269 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, was sacked 4 times. Their running game wasn't really cracking like that yesterday. Passing game was all right, but I feel like that was an okay performance from Drew Lock. Only 9 incompletions. Obviously, two of those interceptions. You don't want to turn the ball over. Definitely can't turn the ball over on the road versus a 49ers team that you don't want to give them. You don't want to give them the ball back after you score, because it's still a problem with all the weapons they have and their explosive, you know, talent that they have on that offense. You just can't afford to give the ball back to them. But 49ers just got their card. 49ers just been beating on the Seahawks. Seahawks, I don't know, man, because I thought the Seahawks was going to be one of those teams that was going to be competing, you know, for a Super Bowl potentially. Like, I'm not saying they not, and I'm not saying they can't get it rolling the right way, but I just thought they was going to be better than 6-7 at this moment. You feel me? I thought they was going to be a little better than 6-7. This is just their record for the last 5 games. Like, the Seahawks has lost 4 games in a row. They're on a 4-game losing streak, and they play the Eagles next week on Monday Night Football at home, but they play the Eagles. And the Eagles just coming off a beatdown, so they're going to go into, you know, the 12-man stadium. They're going to go in that stadium on full alert. But the Seahawks have lost 4 games in a row. Hopefully they're able to, you know, get this game at the crib, because I know that taste in that facility is bad. 4-game losing streak. When you're on, so that's what? 4, so they were 6-2 at a time. No. They were 6-3. They were 6-3, and then they lost 4 games in a row. That is tough. That is tough. But 49ers just that dominant, man. They just a real dominant team. They just dominant. And like I said, I'll be surprised if the 49ers are not in the Super Bowl. I think they are the best team in the NFC. Some will definitely say they're the best team in the league. I think they're definitely top three. They're definitely top three best teams in the league. I think last week I had them on Tony's top five teams. I had them as the best team in the league. I had them as my number one seed. So, great win for the 49ers. Great win for the 49ers. And we're going to see how it turned out after that. But right now, this is where I'm about to jump into and talk about the finals fast break, 4 minutes, where I just speak on these teams because I don't like leaving teams out. So I'll give a four-minute go where I quickly break down these teams and highlight some of these games that probably I haven't talked about yet or that don't get a lot of talk on these sports shows and, you know, all of the podcasts and all of these TV shows, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like to show love to the underdogs as well, to the games that's not, you know, spoke of a lot, to some of the performers that's not. So first and foremost, let's start with the Broncos. Broncos beat the Chargers 24-7. Russell Wilson went into L.A., played a decent game, played a well game, and held their team to 7 points and scored 24 points. I think the Broncos are going to make the playoffs. Russell Wilson has been playing well as of lately. The running game has been well, and the receivers have been making plays. So, but the big thing about that Broncos team is their defense. Vance Joseph got them boys over there balling. You would have never thought they gave up 70 points this year because they've been locking shit down the last few weeks and had some big wins as well. Moving on from that, Vikings and the Raiders. Vikings won 3-0. Moving on. Moving on. Jaguars and the Browns. Joe Flacco off the couch coming in getting wins for his team. The Browns won 31-27. Joe Flacco balled out. Joe Flacco was 26 for 45, 311 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He was literally at the crib a month ago, and now he's coming into the NFL season throwing 45 passes in the game, leading this team into a win against Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence threw 3 turnovers. You cannot go into somebody else's stadium, especially their number one defense in the stadium. I mean, in the NFL. You cannot go into their stadium and throw the ball to their defense 3 times. Emerson had 2 picks. You can't turn over the ball on the road and expect to win 3 times. That's why they lost. Lions and Bears. Lions went to Chicago and got ran over. The Bears won the game 28-13. The Lions, it looked like it was too cold for them. I don't know, man. It looked like they, you know, they play in a dome. That's why I said Detroit should take that dome shit out. I feel like Detroit would win more games if people came to Detroit and it was cold and you played outside. You played in an outside arena. That dome shit, they shouldn't do that. They should make an outside arena and play within the elements, in the Detroit elements, and you will win more games because they're a physical team. That's what I feel like. But Justin Fields balled out, 19 for 33, 223 yards with 1 touchdown, no INTs, 12 carries, 58 yards, and 1 touchdown. He balled out, willed his team to a win. Guys made plays on the outside, and he made plays. He made critical first downs, using his legs and using his arm. Great win for Justin Fields. We're going to see if he's going to remain a Chicago Bear next year or they're going to trade him and draft the quarterback. We shall see. Moving on from that, Tampa Bay Buccaneers went into Atlanta and beat the Falcons 29-25. Baker Mayfield, game-winning drive to score a touchdown. Great performance by him. Baker Mayfield, all he's been doing is winning, man. He was 14 for 29, 144 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he found a way to win. Found a way to go in there and win, and now they're sitting in the 4th seed right now in the NFC, and I think the Buccaneers are going to be the team to make the playoffs. So it's been an up and down season for the Buccaneers, but Baker Mayfield has been playing really, really well. That's what I feel from that game. Drake London also for the Falcons also had 10 catches for 172 yards. That is nice. That is definitely nice. Moving on from that, Carolina. Bryce Young, this situation is bad. He was 13 for 36, 137 yards, got sacked another 4 times. They're a bad team. They're a bad team. The Saints won 28-6. They beat a bad Panthers team. That was all good. Moving on from that, Texas took their talents up to New York and played the Jets and got whooped on. Jets won 30-6. Zach Wilson had a great performance. His head coach said this is one of his better performances, the best performance that he had his whole career. Zach Wilson was 27-36, 301 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Literally had one receiver. Garrett Wilson had 9 catches for 108, and Breece Hall had 8 catches for 86 yards. So guys was getting the ball. Guys was getting touches. He made some great throws. He looked good. So the offense showed up and the defense showed up. They gave up 6 points, and they scored 30. That's what you want to see. I'm sure film today is going to be great for that team. Moving on, Colts and the Bengals. Bengals have been playing really well. The quarterback, Browning, 18 for 24, 275 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, no sacks, didn't get sacked at all. Their running game, though, Joe Mixon had 125 all-purpose yards. He had 79 rushing yards and 46 receiving yards. And the other, Chase Brown, the rookie, had 105 all-purpose yards, 8 carries for 25 yards, and then he had three catches for 80 yards. So 230 yards all-purpose from your running backs, that sounds like a great day to me. They did their thing. They definitely did their thing. I like how Jake Browning is playing, man. I definitely like how Jake Browning is playing. Obviously, the game plan is to hand the ball off, and he can make the throws as well. Only 6 incompletions the last game he had on Monday Night Football last week. He only had 5 incompletions. So, obviously, he's seeing the field correct. He's making the correct throws. And he's growing. I can see he's growing. So, don't count out the Bengals, man. If he continue to play like this, I don't think the Bengals are going to be an easy match for one of those teams. You feel me? I don't think the Bengals are going to be an easy match for one of those, you know, those 3-seeded Chiefs or, you feel me, or a 4-seeded Jaguars team or something like that. It ain't going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. So we're going to see how that goes. But let's see. That was it. That was it for all the games, man. That was it for all the games, but it was some great football this weekend, man. It was definitely some great football this weekend. Shit was going down. And you know I got to go ahead and drop my primetime performers, my Sunday showouts, man. I got 3 of them. I got 3 of them this week. All of them happened to be quarterbacks, man. They balled out. It was some great games from the quarterbacks being played this week. I could have threw Drake London in there. He had 10 catches for 172 yards. He had a nice game for sure. I could have put Emerson in there, the cornerback for the Browns. He had 2 INTs, 3 PBUs, and I think he had like 5 or 6 tackles. That's a great game right there. Guys was balling. I could have put Christian McCaffrey in there. You feel me? Let me see. I could have put C-Mac in there. Let me see how many total yards C-Mac had. Let me see how many total yards C-Mac had. C-Mac had 153 total yards. 153 all-purpose yards. So I could have put him in there, but I had to narrow it down to 3 guys, and these are my 3 guys right here. And they are in order. Number 3, I'm going to go with Joe Flacco, man. Like I said, just a month ago, he was on the couch watching the games, you know, chilling with his people watching the games, and now he's out here, you know, winning games, throwing for over 300 yards for a Browns team, you know. And I think he's in a perfect situation because he plays in that division. He knows that division. He knows that type of weather. He's a vet. Like, he knows the game of quarterback. He knows the game. And they have a running game, and they have a couple weapons that can help. They have things around him that can help him for sure. So him being 26 for 45, 311 yards and 3 touchdowns. That is big time right there. Found his weapons found his weapons all over the field. David Njoku. Let me see. What was David Njoku? David Njoku has 6 catches for 91 yards, 2 touchdowns. Amari Cooper has 7 catches for 77 yards. Elijah Moore had 3 catches for 42 yards. That might be the most yards as a group that they had this entire year. it might be the most catches as a group they had this entire year. That was 16 catches they had in one game. And shit, which is over 200 yards. Over 200 yards. That might be the most that they had as a group this entire year. And that's all because of, you know, Joe Flacco. Him coming in and learning the offense and just executing his game. You know, taking the check downs, throwing it to the open guy, handing the ball off when he needs to, not being extra, not doing things out of his character. He's just doing his thing. What took him to the Super Bowl? You know, they did win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. So he's doing the things that got him to a Super Bowl, and that's what you love to see. So great win for him. He's number three on my list. Number two on my list is Brock Purdy. And I think Brock Purdy been on my list for like – he done been on my list like three times in the last 4 weeks because he's just been balling. Like, I can't pass this up. 19 for 27, 368 yards, two touchdowns. Like, he's making deep throws. He's making intermediate throws. He's making the right reads. He's making throws on the run to the left, throws on the run to the right, checking the ball down, throwing dig routes, throwing on-time bang gate routes, like glance routes, like, he's just doing it all over the field. Like, he kind of like Rondo right now. Like, he's just finding his guys. You feel me? Like, bro, Brock Purdy might be the Rondo right now of their team. Obviously, you got your big dogs. You got your KG and I would say Brandon Ayuk. You got your Paul Pierce and Debo Samuel. You got your Brandon Ayuk. Did I say Brandon Ayuk already? No, I said McCaffrey. You got your Brandon Ayuk and Ray Allen. You feel me? You balling right now. Like, you just got to find a way to get the guys the ball accurately and on time. Balling, doing his thing, man. This is like the four games in a row that they won, and they beat some quality teams. So the 49ers are trending up right now for sure. So Brock Purdy is number two on my list. Number one on my list of primetime performers Sunday showouts, that's going to Lamar Action Jackson. Lamar Jackson down 28-23 in the fourth quarter with under 3 minutes left. This is to win the game. He down by seven. I mean, he down by 5 points. He can't kick a field goal. They have to score a touchdown. He goes 7-for-10. And he throws a touchdown to Zay Flowers. A strike to Zay Flowers. This was a great pass. This was an accurate pass. Because it couldn't have been nowhere else but right here. If he had threw it more to the left, maybe that guy that was checking the guy close to the guy to the sideline was able to knock it down. If he had threw it lower, the linebacker in front of him would have hit it. If he had, you feel me? It had to be where it had to be. And then for the two-point conversion on a sprint out, he was getting hit and still threw the ball, an accurate pass, and Zay Flowers scored a touchdown. I mean, scored for the two-point conversion. He was 24 for 43, 316 yards, three passing touchdowns, and he had 11 carries for 70 yards. MVP performance. Great performance by him. This was a Lamar Jackson win. He converted some key third downs, made some things happen, accurate with the football. Got the ball to his guys so they can create. Threw the ball well deep as well. Threw two deep ball touchdowns to Likely and Odell Beckham. And he just being Lamar. I told y'all, when Lamar get to Lamar, y'all better watch out, man, because he one of the ones. He one of the ones. So that's who I got at number one this week for primetime performance. Sunday show outs. Lamar Jackson, number one. Hey, that's what it is, man. And like I said, my MVP candidates right now, and I think it's only four. Like I said, I think it's only four MVP candidates right now. I think any other guy that entered this conversation should not enter this conversation. Like, we in week, 15? There's nobody else that need to be in this conversation. Jalen Hurts shouldn't be in the conversation no more. Patrick Mahomes shouldn't be in the conversation no more just because of them losing. And it's not his performance like that, but it's the Chiefs' performance, and they're losing games. There's only four guys: Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Tyreek Hill, and Brock Purdy. Those are the only four guys that should be in the MVP candidates list, period. That's who I'm going with. Now, these last 3 or 4 weeks are going to be pivotal to see who pulls away, because there's going to be some competitive football. Some of these guys are going to play against each other. So we're going to see how that turns out. And that's what it is. So obviously that was a great weekend of football. We loved it. We enjoyed it. And Monday Night Football comes on tonight. Let me get my picks real quick. The Packers, there's actually two Monday Night Football games that come on tonight, which is a little twist. I like it, though. I think at least 5 Monday nights during the season, there should be 2 Monday Night Football games. Maybe like one every 3 or 4 weeks, there should be 2 Monday Night Football games. One start at like 7, one start at like 9:30. Just to give guys, you know, more TV time. That's just how I feel, but who cares? The first game, well, they both started at the same time, but this is the first game I'm talking about. The Packers travel all the way to New York to play the Giants. I got the Packers winning that game. I like what Jordan Love been doing. I like his leadership. I like his growth from the beginning of the season till now. Obviously, I think Christian Watson is going to be out, but I think Aaron Jones is going to be back. That's another weapon that they can utilize and need. I got the Packers winning that game. Then the Titans travel all the way down to the 305 and play Miami Dolphins. I think that's going to be a tougher game than people think, though. I think that's going to be a tougher game than people think, because the weather not going to be that much of a factor, because they're going to be playing at 8 o'clock at night. So it's not going to be a 1 o'clock game where it's going to be 115 degrees and you're going to feel that Miami wave, that Miami humid. You're not going to feel it as much because it's going to be a night game. And I got the Dolphins winning this game for sure. I think Tyreek Hill is going to ball out, and he could take over this whole game. But I think Derrick Henry can take over this game as well, and he can turn this into a competitive Monday Night Football game. It's Monday night, man. Stars come out at night, man. Stars come out, show up on game time. They show up on prime time. So, and even guys that ain't stars, they going to show up on prime time. So this game can go either way, but I'm going to take the Dolphins. Hey, it's just in me, man. You feel me? I'm a Miami Dolphin, man. That's who drafted the kid. I'm always going to show love to the Dolphins, man. Shout out to all the guys down there that I still know. It's all love, baby. You feel what I'm saying? But I got the Dolphins for sure. Hey, man, that's all I got for y'all today, man. Y'all be easy like breezy. Appreciate y'all for joining, listening to another episode of the Speak On It podcast, man. Lip out.